All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW-2 type helicopter pilot in Vietnam, 1969. And in fact, today is my welcome home anniversary. I came home 47 years ago, today exactly. And guess what? The weather's doing the same thing. It's snowing. So you leave Saigon, 112 degrees, 190% humidity. You arrive back in the States and it's snowing and it's below zero. Kind of wonder why I was shivering at that time. Anyway, and I also want to welcome home all the other members of the 195th Assault Helicopter Company that came home safely. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with the families of those that did not come back. Today's program is about gifts for veterans. And so we've got a number of people lined up. We've got some books. We've got some jackets. We've got some shirts. We've got all kinds of things for veterans today. So make sure you have your pencil and pen with you, as Bob always says, because you never know when you're going to need to write something down. We've got a couple of organizations that we're going to be talking to today. One is the Veterans Matter Group, and the other is Wreaths Across America. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call here at Veterans Radio. The number in southeastern Michigan is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. And if you're calling us from Washington State or New Jersey, you can call us at 844-838-1600. That's 844-VET-1600. All right. As I mentioned, we've got a couple of organizations that we wanted to promote today because this is the time of year when people want to help veterans, and we got to strike while the iron is hot. And there are so many different great organizations out there, and one just happens to be local. And so we're going to be talking with Ken Leslie right now, who is the founder and major big guy at Veterans Matter. And Ken, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Dale, thank you so much for having me. Welcome home, my friend. Welcome home.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, I'll tell you that.
It's cold, isn't it?
It is cold, and it's coming down, and it's evidently it's not going to stop for a while.
Oh.
I know. People in Florida, now I kind of understand it, but anyway.
It's only three hours away. You
know? Yeah, I know, that's true. Yeah, but we have our four seasons, don't we? Yeah, there's cold,
yeah,
colder, and then hot.
Evelyn Orange Cone.
That's right. So tell me, what's going on at Veterans Matter this time of year?
You know, it is really, really incredible. All the support that we've gathered, the steam, the momentum. We're now 1,260 veterans housed in 12 states. We just got a grant that's opening up Oregon shortly, and we'll be opening up North Carolina. So we'll be in 14 states by the end of next week. And it's this wonderful momentum of regular Americans like you and me are just saying, hey, we got to do something and get them housed.
Right. So remind our audience what Veterans Matter has been doing.
Veterans Matter is a program that we started to house 35 local veterans. And I was doing a public service announcement about housing veterans with Dusty Hill at ZZ Top. And he said, this sounds really cool, this Veterans Matter thing. Will you help me start one down in Houston? So we did down there. And then John Mellencamp did the same thing in Indiana. And then in Michigan, Mitch Albom, Kid Rock, Katy Perry, and a wonderful company named Jordan Reese's all raised a bunch of money for those areas. And then it turned into this landslide of compassion by when regular Americans started getting involved. So it's pretty incredible. Down in Houston, Dusty's groups raised over $250,000 and housed 500 veterans just in Texas.
Wow. And what you do is you're providing the funding for the deposit to get veterans into their own homes or into their apartments or wherever, get them off the street.
Yes, exactly. They are you sitting down?
I am sitting down.
Oh, good, because the VA really does have a good program, and it's called HUD-VASH, and it helps get the homeless veterans off the streets into housing long-term. It pays the rent long-term, and then once they're housed, the VA case manager helps them return to autonomy, getting whatever care that they would need. And the problem was the veterans didn't have the deposits.
Right.
So we found this hole that was preventing veterans from crossing the threshold into a ready, waiting housing. So we created a little program, like I said, to house 35, and it's just snowballed from there.
Wow. And you started this locally, started off in Toledo, Ohio, correct?
Toledo, Ohio, home of Klinger, damn proud.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 3 years ago we started it, and each year it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I think it's terrific, and your program is kind of expanding. Not only you mentioned around the country, but you're doing some other things to help these guys and men and women out.
Yeah. This Jordan Reese's company, this incredible organization. What we noticed was the veterans that we were housing, some of them weren't able to return to autonomy because they couldn't get hired, even though they had hireable skills.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is some of them have some soft barriers to employment, such as, you know, bad job history, those kinds of things.
Right.
So what what Jordan Reese has done, they funded the pilot program for what we're calling the Training and Reemployment Program, TREP for short, which we're giving formerly homeless veterans the advantage of getting a competitive advantage of getting hired by some of these corporations that may have ignored them otherwise.
So has Jordan Reese kind of set up a training program for some of these veterans?
They're providing the funding for mm-hmm. Veterans Matter to be able to, and what we've already, our first two veterans we put into a training program that's going to result in employment. Okay. It was a call center technology. So there, two of them are learning about to become wonderful customer service reps because they already know the computers, the technology, and all of those kinds of things, work. And then, the other program that we're working at is on the job training capacity for these veterans. So if your company hired one of these, veterans, then we'll give you the incentive by paying half their salary the first 3 months.
Oh, that's
so that's
awesome.
How we're envisioning it right now.
So let's suppose that we've got some employers listening out there. Who would they contact for this?
VeteransMatter.org. Just you can Google Veterans Matter mm-hmm. and you get a hold of me, Ken, at VeteransMatter.org, and we'll be glad to do whatever we can to help get you connected to some of the former homeless veterans in any of the 12 states that we're working in. But particularly right now we're working in Michigan and in Ohio.
Okay, I'm looking at the Veterans Matter website right now, and I'm looking at the map of the country, and I love seeing all these numbers starting to go up. And it looks like you've got started an organization. Looks like down in Mississippi, and maybe one in California.
Yeah. The one in California was it's really, really challenging in California. That's probably the nation's biggest challenged area.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many people out there, number one. And number two, the housing costs are so high
right,
that
yeah.
a lot of the landlords won't take the housing vouchers that the veterans have.
And okay.
So that's been kind of challenging there. But Mississippi was another neglected area, and Jordan Reese's came in and saved them as well. I think we've done a little over 400 veterans this year, and you know, we could have done 800 if we had the money, and it's just and we will. We
right.
will next year.
So, well, speaking of money, how can people donate? How can we get money to you?
You know, the easiest way, if they're on their phone, they can text VETS, the word VETS, VETS, to 41444, and they can click through and pledge any amount.
That's VETS to 41444.
Yes, sir. Or they can go to the Veterans Matter website, click the donate button, and they could get right through. And what's so amazing about this is, like I said, it's just you, me, regular Americans, and we noticed a gift that just came in from you the other day as well, and thank you for that. People who donate now, between now and the end of the year, Jordan Reese's is also matching.
That's
100% dollar.
That's what I wanted to get to. That's what I wanted to get at. So if you can make a donation to Veterans Matter, Jordan Reese is going to match that. Up, what did you say? Up to a what?
Up to $200,000.
$200,000. That will go a long way to helping out these veterans. Wow. Well, Ken, I want to thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio again, and we're going to make sure we'll keep up with you and see what's going. We'll give everybody a nice little quarterly report on what's happening with Veterans Matter.
Absolutely, and I so appreciate your support. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Ken Leslie from Veterans Matter. We'll be talking to you soon. Okay, that's one organization that we were talking about, and now we're going to move on to another one. And many of you have probably heard about this one. It's entitled Wreaths Across America. And joining me on the line right now is a representative of Wreaths Across America, Candy Martin. And Candy, welcome to Veterans Radio. Uh, Uh-oh, we got a pretty bad connection. Candy, we're gonna hang up and call you right back. Okay? So let's do that. And I'll try to fill in again. I did this last week, didn't I? with Wreaths Across America, each December on National Wreaths Across America Day, the mission of this organization is to remember, honor, and teach. It's carried out by coordinating wreath-laying ceremonies at Arlington National Cemetery, as well as 1,100 additional additions in all 50 states at sea and abroad. And I think this is a great program that people have heard about. You'll probably hear about it and see it on television, or if you haven't already. And we have a number of different, if you go onto the wreathsacrossamerica.org website, you can see all of the cemeteries in your area that are participating in this, and they're always looking for volunteers. So I'm going to try again. So right now it's Candy Martin. Hello.
Hi, this is Candy Martin from Wreaths Across America. Can you hear me now?
I think we got you now. It's a little bit fuzzy, but we want to get this information out. I want to remind people that Candy Martin is also current president of the American Gold Star Mothers, and that you had lost a son back in 2007, and our thoughts and prayers are with you as well. Are you still there? I guess not. We'll try one more time, and then we'll have to move on. I know what I'll do. Let's take a break. Have we got everything all lined up to take a quick break? All right, we're going to take a break right now and try and get a hold of Candy one more time. And if I can't, then I'll come back on with our first guest, which is going to be Sergeant David Hack of U.S. Wings. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
I'll be home for Christmas.
On Veterans Radio, and today's program is Gifts for Veterans. And while we're trying to contact Candy Martin with Wreaths Across America, I would suggest if you're interested in this program, and we're going to try and get her at some point again during our program today. But right now, I think we've got our guest. Yes? Okay. So joining me on the air right now is Sergeant David Hack, and Sergeant David Hack is the owner and founder of a company called U.S. Wings down in Hudson, Ohio. And David, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for being there. I like that. I think the weather, are you guys getting the snow that we're getting up here?
We most certainly are. We have snow up to our ankles.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you making the effort then to come into the building and talk with us. We have talked with Sergeant Hack many times. We've done programs down in Hudson, Ohio, and we just love the equipment or the jackets and all of the materials that you have. So tell us a little bit about what U.S. Wings has got going at this Christmas time.
Well, this Christmas is extremely exciting, and I need to mention one thing, and if I don't mention it, I'll probably have to sleep on the couch tonight.
Okay.
My wife is the founder of
okay.
U.S. Wings.
Oh, well, hey, that helps. So you're just the help, right?
That's it. I'm serious as a heart attack.
I apologize for that.
No, Dale, my wife was sitting in the kitchen one day, and she says, you need to get a job. And I said, what do you mean get a job? She says, you need to get a job. Because, you know, here I am. I retired from the Army and retired as chief of police. And she says, you need to go get a job, go to work. And I said, doing what? She says, have you thought about selling bomber jackets? I says, what? And she says, have you thought about making bomber jackets? So my wife was the one that came up with the idea. She designed the logo. She came up with the idea. She's the boss. She is it. Well, she is the first sergeant.
She did a great job of coming up with a great idea and a great logo. Because for all of you out there listening, all you got to do is go to uswings.com, and you'll see this beautiful logo flash right up there, established in 1986 when Sergeant Hack's wife came up with the idea.
She most certainly did. And you know what? No matter what movie that you see, as far as aviation goes, that most likely is our jacket. Even Jack Reacher, that's our jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this one commercial on the Super Bowl a couple years ago with the devil. That was our jacket. So, you know, it just keeps on going. And she just comes up with some of the greatest ideas in the world. By far, we have the largest selection of bomber jackets in the world. Even Prince Charles wears our bomber jacket.
That's pretty cool. That is very cool. And I see that you won a 2015 Best Leather Jacket Award by bestleather.org.
Yep, the best jacket on this planet. And Jimmy Fallon wears our jacket.
Well, obviously now we all have to go out and get one. Do you just make leather jackets, or do you have the other aviation-type jackets or military clothing?
We make all aviation jackets, whether it be nylon, whether it be Nomex, whether it be cotton, no matter what. But leather, of course, is our biggest thing.
Right.
So, and we make jackets as far as leather goes out of goat skin, out of cow, out of kangaroo, out of water buffalo even, you name it. You know, we make anything and everything as far as leather goes, and we turn them into bomber jackets. And these things last forever, you know. Whenever you buy one of our jackets, think about who you're going to will it to.
There you go. I'm looking at this Aloha shirt. You've got Aloha shirts on there also that I remember when we were down in Hudson that were on display. In fact, I think either Gary or Bob bought one of those. All of these clothing are made in the United States, correct?
Well, certainly. Tom Selleck, we sell the original Tom Selleck Aloha shirt. It is not a knockoff.
Awesome. I'm looking at
I'm
going to have to come down there again and go shopping. All of this stuff is great. And anybody that's been in the military would love to own any of these leather, the leather jackets, of course, especially. And because they are so well made, and they're such an iconic piece of clothing for anybody who's ever been in the military, especially if they've been a pilot. You know, everybody wants one of these jackets because they are so fantastic. And I see also that in addition to the shirts, you've got other military clothing available.
We do. We represented the White House gift shop up until President Obama closed it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very strong feeling with President-elect Donald Trump, when he takes office the 20th of January, we're going to start up the White House gift shop again. We supplied the White House gift shop from 1986 until 7 years ago. And then, like I said, President Obama shut it down. But it was in existence from day one all the way up. All the proceeds go to the Secret Service. The Secret Service sends the money back out to the Survivor Fund as far as education for the children, as far as the widow fund. So the White House gift shop, when anyone goes to Washington, D.C. in the future, patronize the White House gift shop, because it really goes to a real good cause. We have a cap out there now with 45 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big seller. It really is.
Well, I can understand that. That's for sure. I am looking at some of the other things that it's very difficult for people to find some of these pieces of equipment or clothing that are on your website. I see you've got Vietnam era jungle fatigues. You've got flight suits. You've got go to hell hats. You've got better known as boonie hats.
Yes.
everything. This is just awesome.
This is the real deal, Dale.
I know you are the real deal.
I don't know about that, but my wife says I am. So if she says I am, you got to go with it.
that is true. Well, Sergeant Hack, for those of you that haven't been listening to the program that long, was a top recruiter in the Army for a number of years before he did retire, and his wife told him he had to get out of the house and work and do something. I am looking right now at the sunglasses, which, of course, mm-hmm. all pilots have to have sunglasses. It's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
These are great. I haven't looked at your site in a while, so I've tipped to figure out which ones that I want to get here. And so,
Dale, those sunglasses are military issue.
Mm-hmm.
We supply those sunglasses to all the branches of service, plus we sell them to the general public. Those are the real deal. You know, a guy will go out there and buy a pair of sunglasses made in China, made in whoever knows,
right,
and pay $125. Our military issue sunglasses are like $69, and these are the real deal.
Wow! So let's talk about how, if I want to buy something, how do I do this?
All you do is just type in uswings.com, and our website comes up. We get close to 1 million visits a month. We've been on the internet since 1995. You can order online, and if you don't know how to use a computer, all you do is just call in here at our 1-800 number, and you can pick that up off the internet too, or just call in for U.S. Wings. Our 1-800 number, you can call us 6 days a week from mm-hmm. 10 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. On Saturdays, though, we get out of here at 4 o'clock. We're definitely not open on Sunday. Everyone stays home with their family, mm-hmm. and we've got a staff here that is so qualified. These people are the best of the best as far as knowledge. They have the knowledge down pat as far as the product goes. Most of the people here are either veterans or affiliated mm-hmm. with veterans. And we are a veteran-owned business, 100%. We're a small business. Mm-hmm. We are not a big business. And we don't want to be a big business. We are family like you wouldn't believe.
No, I know. I've witnessed that. And you have some very interesting items on your website. For those of you that, like military gear and so forth, you can get a Snoopy helmet, if you know those old World War II fighter pilot helmets. I noticed, I was just mentioning, and I got home from Vietnam 47 years ago today.
Is that so? Welcome home, brother.
Thank you very much. And I am looking at the Nomex flight gloves that we couldn't get in Vietnam.
I know.
We had to go to Saigon to the black market in order to get the gloves.
Well, you don't have to go to the black market here. You can just come on down to Hudson, and we have a huge selection. And by the way, I was in Vietnam in 1968. I was with the Big Red One, 1st Infantry Division, and I was at Lai K. And
welcome home to you as well.
Yeah, it's good to talk to a fellow Vietnam veteran. You know, we have a huge soft spot in our heart here, and we always have a coffee pot on.
I know that. I have to remember. And you don't mind people dropping in?
No.
Let's suppose I'm driving down that Ohio Turnpike. What exit would I get off at?
Get off at Route 8 and come in. I might want to mention one thing.
Okay.
We have given out free 150,000 books, The Life of a Warrior. We've given them out to VFWs. We've given them out to mm-hmm. VA hospitals. We've given them out to anyone that asks for one. It's a fast-read book, and the name of it is The Life of a Warrior. And it has helped so many people that have read that book, and they've given me a call, and they say, you know, Sarge, I went through the same thing. And I told them, I said, you know, what helped me is I was a patient, in the hospital at Fort Knox, Ireland Army Hospital, for a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I came back, a lot of guys that came back, you know, they just went home. And
right.
They didn't have the time to come down. And that's what's going on now, too. They don't have the time to come down. They need that time.
Absolutely.
I hope and pray with this new president that he comes up with a program to allow these guys, you know, to give them the time to come down. You know, that is so important. It really is, you know. These guys, when they get off that plane and they go in there and they go into the processing, they're going to lie like a sun gun because
they want to get home.
The doctor's going to say, hey, do you have any problems? Oh, hell no.
Right. And we got to go ourselves. Know? So, Sergeant Hack from U.S. Wings, I want to thank you for being on our program. We'll be in touch. I think I might be needing to make a road trip. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll be right back in just a moment. We're going to be talking to a couple of authors from the Naval Institute Press. We'll be right back. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking about gifts for veterans. And we just got finished talking with David Hack, Sergeant David Hack from U.S. Wings. I would suggest you go to their website. Really, there's great military clothing and all kinds of things. I'd forgotten that he even carried. That was uswings.com down in Hudson, Ohio. For those of you in southeastern Michigan, it's not that big a ride, just a little bit past Cleveland. Right now, joining us on the line here at Veterans Radio, as I mentioned, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that. Give us a call here at 734-822-1600, at 734-822-1600, or toll-free 844-838-1600. And every once in a while, we get books from an organization called the U.S. Naval Institute Press. It's the U.S. Naval Institute Press. And these are great books all the time. They're mostly about the Navy, but there are also history books in there and lots of things military, and it's just a great organization. And we've got two authors on with us this afternoon, and I'm going to introduce them both, and then we're going to kind of break off into little discussions about either one. First up is Bill Reeder, and Bill has written his book, it's Through the Valley, which is a story of a United States soldier taken prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. It happens to be, I believe it's his own story. I just received the book the other day, so I didn't get a chance to read it in depth. But Bill, I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much, Dale. A pleasure to be here.
It's a great story, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, and it is my story. It's Through the Valley, My Captivity in Vietnam, the story of my experience as a prisoner of war, indeed the last U.S. Army prisoner captured who survived the war to come out at the end.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk more about that. But also coming on along with you is Bob Harder, and Bob is an Air Force pilot, and his story is about the bombing of Hiroshima. And Bob, I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Dale. Nice to be here. And just a quick correction. I was not a pilot. Perish the word. I was a navigator bombardier on a B-52 during the Vietnam War.
Okay. Well, air crew. Well, you know, up.
A little rivalry there.
I understand that. My guess is, though, if something had happened, I don't know, with a B-52, you probably could have taken over, right?
Maybe later on when I got my certificated flight instructor license.
Right. That's what I figured. So, you know, I like to build up my guests.
Yeah. I've actually written two books. The one you received is about the three men that built the first atomic bomb group, and they actually flew the Hiroshima mission. That would be the crew of the Enola Gay, and it's their personal and professional life story. But I do have another book. I don't know if the press sent it to you, but my first book with the Navy was the story of the B-52 air war in Vietnam, and the feature part of it is the Operation Linebacker campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be just as much of an interest to your readers, as long as you've got Bill Reeder here. My book details the air war over Hanoi during the Christmas bombing in 1972.
Is that the one flying from the black hole?
That's right.
Okay. See, I've got some notes here. I don't know everything.
There you go.
I want to.
You Army guys, so you pick up a few things along the way.
We do that. Well, you know, we flew very low and very slow. And you guys were just buzzing around above us the entire time. We couldn't even see you half the time. And we were just told to get out of the way.
Yeah, well, we were smart enough to, you know, stay way above all that activity down there.
As they say, stay above the fray, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, I want to ask you, before we get into talking about each of your books, I wanted to ask either one of you, and I guess I'll go to Bill first, is how did you get involved with the Naval Press?
Well, I would say I was honored to be published by Naval Institute Press. It really is a prestigious press. You know, I mentioned they published Tom Clancy's first book, Hunt for Red October. They published another bestseller that was made in a movie by Stephen Kuntz, Flight of the Intruder. So
okay.
To have them be my publisher, I was really honored. The way I got published, it's a long and you have to persevere, but to get quickly to the end of that story, I finally got connected with their acquisitions editor, and she reviewed my manuscript, and it was acceptable and picked up, and they took it, and it's been a very wonderful experience working with them over the months to get it published this year in 2016. But yeah, great press, and as you said in your intro, great books that I think would be their whole catalog of interest to your readers.
Well, I echo Bill's comments on the press. They've really treated me well too, and I'm very proud to have had my second book with them, and I hope there'll be a third one.
Well, it's very interesting. I just wanted to give our audience a quick history, and I was hoping that my contact, Judy Heiss, with Naval Institute would call us in, but I guess she's not. She's
taking Sunday off.
Yeah, she's taking, yeah, probably. She probably works very hard. But
they all do work very hard. The publishers are really under a lot of stress across the board. Those people work very, very hard, long hours.
Well, I know that they do, and I just wanted to let people know that it says that the U.S. Naval Institute has been a fixture of the Naval Academy since 1873.
Isn't that something?
And that's pretty cool. It's,
yep.
It actually, its headquarters are on the grounds of the Naval Academy.
Correct.
And it's just neat. They had a vision. It said to create a forum for the exchange of ideas, and that's what they're doing. All the books that I've ever gotten from the Naval Institute have been just great reads and just really filled in a lot of information in our history that I was not aware of. And so let me go to you, Bob, first. Let's talk a little bit about the Enola Gay. And how did you come up with the idea for doing this story?
Well, I was looking for a follow-up to the first book about flying from the black hole. The book is from the viewpoint of the Navigator Bombardiers. In my view, the story of the non-flying pilot officers has been undertold for a long time. So I set out on a mission to try to redress that. Subsequent to that book, it did well in a tough time, and I was encouraged to write a follow-up book, and I thought, well, wait a minute. Now, I happen to have served briefly with the bombardier of the Enola Gay back in the 60s, and later on, I got to know the navigator Dutch van Kirk, and I said, "Why don't I write their story? Because you can tell the story of World War II navigation at the same time." But it turned out to be a multiple issue kind of thing, a multiple story: the navigator's story, the bombardier's story, the story of those three guys. Incredible story, really. How they were thrown together. They flew the very first strategic U.S. bombing missions from England in August of 1942. They started the war, and they literally closed it out 3 years later over Hiroshima, became lifelong friends. So it was a wonderful story, and I was pleased with the way it turned out.
Well, it's an exciting read. I've started reading both of your books, and it's kind of like, you know, I got two of them, and I keep going back and forth between them. We had the privilege of talking with where did his name go? Dutch van Kirk here on Veterans Radio. My former partner Gary Lilly. We talked with him back in August of 2005. And I can remember one question that Gary asked was, you know, do you have any regrets? And he says no.
Yeah.
He said, just doing my job. And, you know, just considering the alternative, if they hadn't, you know, if that mission had not been successful, you know, what would we be doing today?
Right. Yep.
But he was, I found him to be a fascinating character.
He was a really interesting fellow, and he lived to be 93. He just passed away a couple of years ago on July 2014. He was the last of the 25 men that flew the two atomic bomb missions.
And what kind of planes did they fly on that?
B-29.
B-29s.
Right.
That's true. And I think it's a great story, and I think we need to make sure that the upcoming generations know about these types of things, and that's why I'm so grateful for people like you and Bill for writing these stories. You know, we don't.
Let me just give everybody my my website, because if they can't remember my name or the names of the books, it's robertoharder.com, and that's harder as in we try harder. So you just go to robertoharder.com, and you'll find out everything that you may or may not need to know.
Right, and your book is available on the Naval Institute website.
It's available anywhere, any bookstore.
Right.
Just like Bill's book is available anywhere. That's
right.
One of the advantages of having the Navy Institute Press behind you is they have full support of all the bookstores in the country.
The
wholesales.
Right, that's what Judy told me, because I know I said, oh, do I go to Amazon? She says, you can.
Yeah.
Or you can go anywhere.
Go down to your local bookstore.
That's true. That's true. I'm gonna leave Bob for just a second and come on over here to Bill.
His story is a lot more interesting than mine.
Not really. No, you know, don't sell yourself short on that. I think that they're different types of stories.
Let's look
at it that way. So, Bill, you were it says you were raised in around Los Angeles. You enlisted in the Army in 1965. Had two tours of duty in Vietnam, flying the OV-1 Mohawk and also the Cobra. During your tour in Vietnam, and you were shot down, captured by the North Vietnamese, spending nearly a year as a POW. Wow! So could you? We don't want to give the whole story away. We obviously you survived, but
and we don't have time for the whole story.
Well, no, both of you guys, I'm going to have back on, you know, early in next year, and we can devote a longer portion to talking about your books.
I would love to, and there's a good transition from Robert to me with his mention of his writing about the Christmas bombing campaign of the B-52s in 1972. As the B-52s were raining bombs down on Hanoi, I was in two different prison camps in Hanoi at that time. So we were on the receiving end, but very positively, that was a huge morale boost for all of the prisoners.
Okay.
Which is music to my ears.
I'm sure it is. I've talked to we've been fortunate here on Veterans Radio to talk to a number of POWs from that time period, and they all talk about the morale boost that they got whenever they could hear the bombs landing around Hanoi or around, you know, wherever they happened to be. And your stories of survival, and then even, you know, your stories of coming home, Bill, are always so powerful that anybody could go through that. I mean, you can't demean that you were there for, quote, only a year when some of the other guys were there for 6 years. But that year probably was about 20 years long, I can only imagine.
It was a horrendous experience. And, yeah, as I said, that book is my experience. One of the things that motivated me to write the book is that most things written about the POW experience in Vietnam have been written by or about those prisoners who were shot down over the North, captured and taken immediately into the prison system in Hanoi. There was little available about the other POW experience. Those of us that were in the Army, Marine Corps, well, and Navy, also an Air Force in the South, but that were captured in South Vietnam, held in very crude jungle conditions for a good amount of time, and then marched that treacherous march all the way up the Ho Chi Minh Trail for several hundred miles, grueling experience to finally eventually get to Hanoi.
I was going to ask you about that. You know, the idea is that if you got shot down in 1972.
I did.
And I don't think people realize by 1972 the vast majority of the ground troops were gone.
Yes, they were. In fact, I was operating out of two corps in the central highlands of South Vietnam, and there were no U.S. ground forces left in the highlands at all. It was South Vietnamese Army and then some American advisors, some special forces, and then Army aviation units, and that was it.
I'm trying to remember. I was talking to somebody the other day that more pilots were killed or injured during, you know, after 1969 than were injured before 1969.
Yeah, I can't confirm that statistic, but I'm not surprised. We had a couple of large operations, one into Laos and Lam Son 719, And then, of course, the operation. When I got there in late 71, I thought I'd missed the war. I thought it was over. But it all came back in a vengeance in the Easter Offensive of 1972, which ended up being the largest offensive of the war, much larger than the Tet Offensive in 68. And I found myself in the middle of that and did get shot down and evaded the enemy for 3 days, then captured and spent nearly a year in captivity before being released.
So you had to walk from Tukor up to Hanoi?
I did. First, after I was captured, interrogated, and pretty brutally, that's all covered in the book, then marched into northern Cambodia for 3 days, held in a crude jungle prison there, and eventually marched up the Ho Chi Minh Trail on a, it turned out to be a death march. They said we were going to go out for up to 11 days of marching. It ended up being over 3 months all the way into North Vietnam and Hanoi. Had a group of 24 South Vietnamese prisoners, myself and one other American. Before I got in Hanoi, half a dozen of the South Vietnamese were dead, and the other American was dead.
That's like those death marches that we hear about in World War II.
Yeah, it was bad. In fact, when I was writing the book, I'd give the chapters to my wife to review, and I got a few chapters into it. I said, Melanie, who is going to want to read this thing? This seems like just a series of unfortunate events. This is a pretty depressing story. And she said, no, stick with it, because I think in the end, when you get it done, it's going to be inspiring. And indeed, the publisher has labeled it as a story of hope and survival. And I think it does give, it is my account, but of overcoming difficulty and adversity. And I think that anyone in the military, any veteran, certainly, and really the whole general readership audience, I think, could relate to this story, and I hope that they would find it inspiring.
I think they're both great stories. You know, we were talking with Bill Reeder. His book is Through the Valley, his autobiographical story of being captured and taken prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. I'm just reading the press release here of, your helicopter being shot down. There is a few of us that can relate to that, and I think the thing that both of your stories are telling, and this is I need to kind of end this up, unfortunately, is about the endurance and the determination of the American soldier, male or female, and especially today, female, is that they will do whatever it takes to survive, whatever it takes to complete their mission, and they don't question too often, what the orders are that come from above. Bob, could you comment on that?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And the kind of thing that you're doing, and there's a lot of other people that are doing, is such a refreshing thing from the way it was 40 years ago. Because those of us in the early 70s and middle 70s, when we came back, Bill probably even got some of this. It was pretty brutal. Even to the point where you didn't talk about it. You didn't let anybody know you were a vet. So when we contrast that with the times today, it's a real breath of fresh air, that's for sure.
It certainly is, and it's up to us, you and me, to keep these stories going and keep these stories alive and let the American public know that the tradition of the military for the last 200 and same years really hasn't changed that much.
No, that's absolutely right, And let's hope that we can rejuvenate our military now a little bit after a period of time that rivals Carter's time at malaise that we had.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm still connected to a lot of guys in the service, and the morale's pretty low. Flying time is non-existent practically, and machines are breaking down, and we really need a fresh breath air inside.
Well, we'll see.
We got the outside covered. The folks are with us, so we just got to get. We've got to get the military rebuilt again.
Absolutely. I heard. I didn't get a chance to ask Sergeant Hack about this, but evidently he had talked to President-elect Trump's son Eric while he was campaigning in Ohio, and he said that my dad promises to take care of the veteran. And I said, okay. We're going to hold his feet to the fire on that one.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Both you, Bill Reeder and Bob Harder, U.S. Naval Press books are available there. They're on Amazon. They're on our website, veteransradio.net. And I want to thank both of you for being on our program. And we'll get back together with both of you sometime in January, I hope.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
Thank you very much,
Dale.
Thank you all. Have a great Christmas.
Yep.
Okay, you too. Same to you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with one more organization that we need to talk to you about on today's Veterans Radio, Gifts for Vets. We'll be right back.
Just like the ones I used.
All right, we're back on Veterans Radio, and you don't have to dream about a white Christmas anymore. We got it. It's here. And probably will stick around for a while. For those of us all in the northern tier of the country, it's still snowing. So it could be kind of interesting. Today's program is about gifts for veterans. And joining me on the line is a founder of an organization that we discovered a couple of months ago. And we've had him on the program before, and I want to welcome back Mark Doyle. Mark is the founder of Rags of Honor. And Mark, welcome to Veterans Radio back.
Thank you. Thank you for continuing to amplify our message and continuing to be a voice for veterans across the country. And I'm just honored that you guys continue to reach out to me and let me tell my story.
Well, it's such a great story. I'm looking at your website right now, and underneath the name, the Rags of Honor, you've got "They Had Our Backs, Let's Keep Their Shirt on Theirs." So tell our organization, our group, or our listeners, I guess it better be more specific, tell our listeners about what Rags of Honor is.
Rags of Honor is a custom silk screen and apparel company that I founded when I came back from Afghanistan about 4 years ago. And we are devoted to hiring homeless vets and those who are chronically unemployed. We get the lion's share of our employees right from homeless shelters, young men and women who served, who, through no fault of their own, lost their job, either while they were deployed or when they came back, went through their savings, didn't have a family member who could help them, had nowhere else to turn, ended up in the shelter. So we hire them, and we train them in the art of silk screening and logistics and supply, and they run the entire company. And really, we're on two platforms. One is to do custom work for, you know, restaurants and UPS and people like that who just need T-shirts. Then we have our own brand, all made in America, designed by vets, printed by vets, that we sell online. And that's what, if you scroll down, if you're looking, any of your listeners are listening, they want to go to ragsofhonor.us,
right,
you'll pop up to our store and you'll see some of our latest designs.
I am looking at your latest designs. One is the big W for the Cubbies.
Yep, that's our version of a W with the dog tags.
That's really cool. That's a cool shirt, and many more. I you know, we have always commented on many of your shirts and how just starting trying to think of the word now, startling they are. I guess is that they really draw your attention and make you think about, mostly think about the military as soon as you see them, and I they're very. You know, they're not in-your-face type of shirts. It's a more subtle, more subliminal type of designs that you're under. And you mentioned that the designs are all done by your workers.
Yes, you raised the point that it's nuanced, but I'm glad you brought it up. The designs that my veterans come up with are military-themed, and they want to evoke patriotism, but we don't try to be over the top. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we just feel like we have designs that just try and tell a little bit about who we are. Our biggest number one selling design is just the freedom design. It's a tattered flag. It just says freedom. Mm-hmm. And our tagline really does say it all, and I'm so glad you highlighted that. They had our backs. Let's keep the shirt on there. So when you come to our site, everything you buy there is going to be printed, made, designed, shipped by a veteran. And one of our veterans, who is our graphic designer, was a combat helicopter refueler. Peter is another one of our designers. He was an infantryman who deployed. And they're just very creative guys. And they design. You see one that's there. If you go to the site, you'll see the one that says veteran. That is one of our newest ones. It's just a beautiful T-shirt. Sort of just says it all, right?
Absolutely. And I also wanted to. You've got a. an entry in the ugly T-shirt or the ugly sweater
the ugly
contest.
Christmas sweater. We thought we would have some fun with that, and frankly, it's actually not that ugly. I thought it was actually,
I know. I'm looking at it.
A bunch of them.
I was going to say this is something I wouldn't mind. I could get away with wearing that. Nobody give me a hard time on that one.
My brothers and sisters don't know this, and I doubt they're listening right now, that they're all getting those for Christmas.
Oh. Why not, right?
So, I mean, that's in the next couple of weeks, we'll have the knit caps. We'll have our Rags of Honor knit caps, the Scullies coming out with our dog tags on the front. And after the first of the year, you'll be able to buy the Cup of Joe brand coffee. We'll be launching our old brand of coffee roasted by two of our vets. We're hiring two vets with a local roaster who's going to teach them the art of roasting and bagging. And so,
oh, that's really cool, Mark. That's great. It sounds like that Rags of Honor is just taking off.
We are getting to the point where, and we're at 15 full-time employees, and you know, a small business, as all your listeners know, that you fund with your savings and you fund in a very competitive environment, takes a while to really take hold. But our sales continue to go up. We are very close to a deal with Stanley Tools. Several weeks ago, there was a CBS piece that aired on us on Saturday morning. It was about a minute piece. And lit up the phone lines, and we got a call from the group who exclusively reps Stanley Tools, and they want to do a T-shirt with us. So, I think Miller Coors is going to come on board, and the Hyatt Hotels, I think, is going to make us one of their preferred vendors. So, I think 2017, I'm looking to hire at least 10 more vets. Our goal is to be at 50 by next year at this time.
That's awesome, Mark. I'll have to put you in touch with the Veteran Beer Company, which comes out of Chicago. We had them on a couple of weeks ago.
I love that guy. I haven't seen him in a while. He's a great guy. He visited our shop. He's a Navy guy.
That's right, yeah. So we're going to have to get them, you guys get hooked up. And I'm going to resend you my design or our logo and see what you guys can come up with, all right?
Wing it over, baby. Mark of Rags of Honor. Get it over, and we will blast it out.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. From ragsofhonor.us, get on there and order a shirt.
Thank you, everybody. You guys have a great Christmas, Dale.
You too. Thank you very much. All right.
Bye.
That's it for this week, folks. We've done it again. Another hour has sped by. Go to our website. All of the people that we've talked to on the program, their logos and their links are on there. We want you to do that. Next week, we will be back with a little bit of story about the USO, and we will be talking to you later on. Christmas is coming up, and it's great to be home. I'll tell you that right now. So until next week, you are dismissed.